Selected verses from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. First reading of the first chapter, the first four verses. The oracle of God which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and thou wilt not hear? Or cry to thee, violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou make me see wrongs and look upon trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is slacked, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. And from the second chapter, I will take my stand to watch and station myself on the tower and look forth to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by faith. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. May God grant to us understanding of this portion of his holy word. A woman goes to talk to a lawyer about getting a divorce. The lawyer asks her some questions. Do you have grounds? She says, yeah, we have about 2 acres. He said, no. Look, does he beat you up? She said, no, I get up at 6:30. He sleeps till 7. Oh, listen, do you have a grudge? She said, no, we just have a carport. Finally, he gets exasperated. He says, look, lady, why do you want to get a divorce? She says, the man just can't carry on an intelligent conversation. That's what the prophet Habakkuk was thinking. He just couldn't carry on an intelligent conversation with God because he was doing all the talking and God was doing none of the answering. Old Habakkuk really had some serious complaints to take to God. He had seen things in his country go from bad to worse. Life in Judah had deteriorated terribly over the last few years. Now, they had a really good king named Josiah. He was a godly man. He had brought a lot of reforms to the way the government acted and cared for the poor. He had eliminated a lot of injustice, but he died in battle protecting his country. And the new king was one of his kids who had grown up arrogant. You know the kind, born on third base and thinks he hit a triple. This king was selfish and cruel. He took care of his wealthy buddies and did nothing for the poor. He perverted justice and made himself richer and richer at others' expense. Then he started to make deals with other foreign kings. And he failed to even take into account how cruel they were to their own people, let alone how cruel they would ultimately be to Judah. He showed no interest in the prophets of God and what they had to say, and he showed absolutely no inclination to have any faith in God at all. Then, one of those foreign powers that he used to play footsies with decided to take over Judah. The invading armies of Babylon are at the gate, and it looks like Judah is going to be destroyed. Now, as bad as the Jews had been behaving internally, it was nothing compared to how much worse the Babylonians were. And Habakkuk wants to know why God will not answer his complaints about how bad things had gotten for God's people. The name Habakkuk means to embrace. He was a true prophet who embraced God's truth and proclaimed only what God said. He didn't just get up and give his own opinion. Now, the bad king in this case had religious-type people all around him who would say anything they thought he wanted to hear. But Habakkuk wasn't one of them. He was the one who would only say, "Thus saith the Lord." And to be honest, it took some real spiritual guts for Habakkuk to bring his complaint to the Lord. I don't know about you, but even when I get frustrated, and even when I get mad, I don't dare to question God. Habakkuk almost sounds like he's calling God on the carpet. How long are you going to keep silent when everything down here is going down the tubes? Have you ever felt that way? Have hard times ever lasted so long that you begin to think that maybe God isn't listening? That can happen when we're praying for our nation or the world. It can happen when we're praying for our family or our church or ourselves. How long, O Lord? In his book entitled Night, Elie Wiesel, a concentration camp survivor, recalls a day when the Nazis were hanging a young man. It took this young man 30 minutes at the end of that rope before he died, while everyone else in the camp was forced to watch. While they were watching, one voice among the prisoners said, "Where is God?" Wiesel thought to himself, "God is right here. God is on the gallows." But it's hard to wait for God's presence when hard times go on and on. And Habakkuk was running out of patience. He decided that he's just going to go up in a tower and sit himself down and wait. He's going to wait until he hears some kind of an answer from God. If it were today, we might imagine that he's up in his tower with his cell phone and he's texting God. Why won't he answer me? Maybe he doesn't have his phone on. Maybe he doesn't have any service where he is. He's just ignoring me. But if he thinks that's going to work, he's crazy. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going anywhere until I get an answer to my prayers. I'm just going to try again. Nothing. What am I supposed to do? I've offered these prayers to God in faith, and I'm not getting an answer. Well, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to keep texting him and calling him until I finally get an answer. Well, he was lucky he didn't have a cell phone. Patience is a hard lesson to learn. A man asked God once, "Oh, Lord, to you, how long is a million years?" And he said, "A minute." "Well, how much is $1,000,000? He said, "A dollar." The man said, "Can I have a dollar?" God said, "In a minute." No matter what Habakkuk did, he could not hurry God. I saw a sign on a church board once that said, "God, give me patience and make it snappy." Well, you can't hurry God. God will answer prayer, but it will be on God's time, not ours. You know, I think it's okay for us to get frustrated with God. God's big enough to handle that. Have you ever felt that way? You start to wonder if the silence means that God isn't listening or maybe that God doesn't care? Well, even in the silence, God is listening. And God never stops caring. Don't forget that God knows what it's like to be frustrated. Habakkuk went up on high so he could get a better view of things while he waited for an answer from God. And there was another person who was lifted up on high, this time on a cross, where he cried out in desperation, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What Habakkuk lacked in patience, he certainly made up for in stubbornness. He waits in silence. Some people might have thought it was kind of stupid to continue to wait and wait and wait when there was no answer coming. Habakkuk might have thought that 97% of people are stupid. Thank goodness I'm in the other 5%. That's a math joke. You'll get that later. One of the great moments in the Cuban Missile Crisis was when the American ambassador to the United Nations Adlai Stevenson presented aerial photographs that were proof that the Russians had installed missiles in Cuba. The Russians had denied that they were there. And when he showed them the pictures and asked for a response, the Russian man said, "Well, you'll just have to wait for our response." And Stevenson said, "We are willing to wait until hell freezes over if that's what it takes." Sometimes you don't have any option but to wait in silence. How long? As long as it takes. God finally did answer Habakkuk, and God said, "If it seems slow, wait for it." Sometimes we wait in silence for an entire night. One night I sat up and wondered where the sun had gone, and then it dawned on me. Sometimes you have to wait a year or years for a prayer to be answered. Sometimes you have to wait a lifetime. I think in the long run, Habakkuk not only got his answer, he also learned a wonderful lesson in patience. Wait for it. I think we can develop patience, but in the long run, it's really a gift of the Spirit. And I also think there are some things that we can learn to do while we are waiting. First, read God's Word. So many times the answer that we're seeking is already written down for us. A man was talking to his friend who was down. He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Oh, my business is a mess. It's failing." And his friend said, "Well, you know, sometimes when I have a problem, I just open the Bible randomly and put my finger down and I find the answer." So a week later, he saw his friend and he said, "Hey, I tried that. I opened my Bible and I put my finger down randomly and there was the answer. It said, chapter 11. Well, it takes more serious study than that, but the answers are often there. Second, don't give up on prayer. God isn't some bellboy up in the sky just waiting to jump to answer anything we want or need. Jesus tells several stories about the need for persistence in prayer. Remember the widow who was hounded and hounded the judge until she got justice? Remember the neighbor who knocked on the door until the sleeping man got up out of bed and gave him what he wanted? There's an old Indian proverb that says, "It's not the last swing of the axe that fells the tree. It's the accumulation of all the swings." Even in a lament or a complaint, God is hearing your prayer. I also find it's helpful to pray with others as well. Get a different perspective. And third, ask God for wisdom. It may just be that you're praying for the wrong thing. Remember who God is, and it's not you. And finally, pay attention to the silence. There have been lots of times in my life when God speaks the loudest to me in the silence. The sovereignty of God is a tricky belief. It's God's will is not always a helpful thing to say to people who are in times of trouble. There's an old hymn that was in the Maroon hymn book. It was called, "God is Working His Purpose Out." My home church used to sing it. No one else has ever heard of it, and it's probably just as well. It was in a minor key. It was like a dirge, but it had such truth. God is working his purpose out. But that's true only when you see it from a higher perspective and not just the right now. God's purposes, God's way are always ways of love and grace. If the story doesn't have a happy ending, then it's probably not really the end of the story. Wait for it. We say, "Well, we'll be there if the good Lord is willing and the crick don't rise." Well, in a way, that's a kind of a statement of faith in a God who will always make a way. Habakkuk gets his answer. If he was on his phone again waiting, he might say, "Is his phone on? Has he gotten my message at all?" And then, all of a sudden, in the silence, God answers. Habakkuk is told to write the vision in big letters so that everyone can see. In modern terms, put it on Facebook and Twitter and email. Put it on Messenger and the TV and billboards. God has not abandoned his people. God will never abandon his people. If it seems like it's slow because it doesn't happen right away, wait for it. It will surely come and it will not lie. The vision is that the righteous will live by faith. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Those without faith will fail. The arrogant will not endure. Charles Barrett wrote this funny little book of poems about biblical passages, and this is what he wrote about Habakkuk. No other question perplexes theology quite like the one prompted theodicy. Why do good people suffer while good things happen to people meaner and rougher? You think innocent sufferers are just victims of luck? No such answer satisfies Habakkuk. Surely, Lord, he asks, if you can't treat the good as your pets, can't you spare them entanglement? Like ill-fortuned fish in fate's cruel nets. To this anguished cry, there's no rational reply. Yet Habakkuk tells us he's found an anchor for every storm-tossed sea in the Lord and Jacob's covenant fidelity. Though God's people are tempted, God's people and temple are buffeted by many an evil wind, there's still a voice whispering deep within, be quiet and still, the Lord is in. God's truth is love and grace. What God asks of us in response is to love kindness and to do justice and to walk humbly and patiently with God. So, Elderton Church, hang in there. The Lord is with you. Write it in big letters. God is working his purpose out, and the vision is not lost. And if it seems slow, well, you know.